Pharisees and those Sadducees, calling them vipers and adulterers and everything else. I said, if I started every one of my sermons like that, pretty soon I'd be here by myself probably. But Jesus and John the Baptist didn't seem to have a problem with separating the sheep from the goats or anybody else. They just let her rip. But I'm going to try to be a little delicater than that. If you will, turn to Philippians. Not that I'm saying that we should not call what it is, but they had a little bit more insight than I do on some of these things that they say. I think the apostles, when they called people sorcerers and demons and everything else, they had a little bit more unction than we have on what they were talking to, so that they knew, and so all I can do is preach the gospel. That's all you're supposed to do, is preach the gospel. It says we preach the gospel that the elect might hear it and believe. I don't know who the elect are. You don't come around with little E's on your forehead and little things like that and say, oh yeah, I need to make sure I just keep beating on him till he gets it. No, we preach the gospel to every creature that God's chosen folks would hear the gospel and be saved by the preaching of the gospel. That's what God chooses. He could have sent angels down, I guess, or he could have just sat down and thumped each one of us on the head and said, wake up, you're it. But instead, he decided to use preaching. So that's where we're at. We're going to preach. But in Philippians chapter 1, I'm thinking, I love this book so much that I'm thinking that we may hit this for a couple of Sundays going on. But in chapter 1, verse 6, it says, being confident of this very thing, that which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. And he's talking to the church at Philippi here, but he's not just talking to the church as a entity, but he's talking to the saved believers in the church. And it says here, being confident of this very thing, that he which began a good work in you. It wasn't you made a decision. You do make a decision, don't get me wrong. You do something after God effectually touches you and works on you. But it is him who starts this thing. And it's him that will finish this thing. But also in Sunday school, we understood that we have obligation for ourselves. He that has this hope maketh himself pure. So in other words, while we can say, well, I'm where I am by the grace of God, yes, you are. But you're also responsible if you've got some stuff in your house or in your life or whatever that's not up to snuff with God's dealings. Then it's our duty to repent before God and try to work those things out, purge those things out. Are they easy to purge out? No, they got a hold on us. We got a hold on them. And so when it says here, well, God's going to purify me and make me... Yeah, one, there's going to be a day when all this sin will be gone. But there's also a part in me that I am supposed to try to put those things, put down the sins and things which so easily beset me. Yes, he which hath begun a good work in me and you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. He won't fail. Whatever I can't get worked out, he will work out one day. Now, it would be a whole lot nicer if when I get there, there's not much to work out. Because it says we're going to go through the fire. We're going to be burned off. Well, I'd like that burning off to be a little quick thing. I don't want to sit in there and cook too long. I'd like to put some of this old stuff behind so I don't have to sit in the fire very long. I'd like to say, Jesus, I know that I'm saved by your grace and I know it's not by my works, but I tried to put these things back and I worked at it diligently. Then I'm going to go on to a little bit farther into chapter 1, towards the end there, 29, and it says, for unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ. Oh, you didn't just go out and get this thing or whatever, but unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe in him. Whoa, what? You believe in Christ right now because he gave you the ability. He gave you the faith. You didn't muster this thing up and work it out. Well, I have faith and now I believe in Jesus. No. If you believe in Christ, it's because Christ gave you the ability. But there's a thing that comes along with that ability. Let's look at it. Not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. So not only did we get the free ride to heaven and to believe in Jesus Christ, but we've got a little bit to load to carry too. We're going to be persecuted if we believe in Christ. People are going to look at us and say, look at those holy rollers, and they hate everything about the government. That's what we hate the government right now. We're against the government because we're not for abortion. We're not for gay marriages. We're not for homosexuality. Everything we preach and teach in here twists them up and makes them angry. And yet everything we talk about, abortion and homosexuality and doing things that you're not supposed to do, is all what God says do. And not only are we supposed to say do it, we're supposed to do it. If I talk about let's don't be homosexuals, I mean we don't do it. If I say don't be a murderer, then we don't do it. If I say don't be a thief, then we don't do it. If I say don't tell lies, then we don't do it. Now you say, well, brother, you just don't know about my situation. Yeah, I know. And we have a tendency to get ourselves in places where maybe we do have to tell a lie sometime. It's not good. And I'm not talking about where, when, and how, but I'm just saying is there could be a time where you may have to lie to save somebody's life. Now, well, I'm not supposed to lie, so do I tell them the truth and this guy dies or this person dies? Well, there will be a time where we'll be tested that way. Hopefully we'll make the right decisions. But it says here, Paul and Timotheus, the servant of Jesus Christ, to all the, and I was going to say to the end chapter there, it says, stand, and when you stand, stand in Christ. Not in my abilities, not in your abilities, but the bottom line is no matter how well we work these things out and push these things down, our stance is our belief and hoping that Christ is going to take care of everything. At the end, Christ, like I said, we have the victory. The sting of death is going to be handled not because of how good we did, but because of what Christ has done. Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus. Now, you might be a saint in something else, but if you're not a saint in Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus, He wasn't talking to you right there, which are at Philippi. With the bishops and the deacons. All right, deacons, y'all pay attention. He's talking to y'all too. He says, grace be unto you. First of all, he says, let the grace of God be unto you. Let the power of God be unto you. Let the joy of God and peace, which cometh only from belief in Christ Jesus, peace with the God that God has given to us before we gave it back to Him. He made us in peace. From God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, what grace we have and what peace we have and what dealings we have to be able to love the brethren, to be able to have grace among the brethren, to be able to treat each other like we're supposed to, all came from Jesus Christ. Or else we're a bunch of religious fanatics, one or the other. In fact, I was talking to people at work. One lady told me the other day, she says, I had a fire at my house, and I understand fire. I've been around fires before. And I was scooping through the ashes, and I found my son's Bible. And I scooped it off, and the God saved that Bible. And I'm saying, man, that's great. And she says, I kept scooping around, and I found my Bible. I'm very religious. And I says, okay, well, you found your Bible. Do you read your Bible? Oh, yeah, I read it. But do you believe it? Because from the way you talk and the way you act and the things you talk about, undoubtedly you read it very lightly. I ain't saying you would own it up, but undoubtedly you just read the light stuff. You see, people like either having, it's kind of like beverages. I'm going to use the word beer here, so don't get thrown nothing at me. But there's Bud Light. And then there's Michelob Full or Full Bodied or whatever. I don't know what all that means. I guess it's got something to do with that foam stuff on the top of it. I don't know. But people are the same way. They like Jesus light. They want a Jesus that loves them no matter what. They want a Jesus that it's okay. And then there's the folks that have Jesus full where they say, oh me. I know I'm saved by grace, and I know I've been given all these things in God. I'm seated in the heavenlies. I've been forgiven of all my sins, but that doesn't give me carte blanche to go continue to sin to see how much grace can abound. So it says here, those people don't mind sinning, and they're not worried about any answer back to it because they're just religious. They're just acting the part. And I would say, if there's anybody who thinks about it, don't act the part. If you realize that there's a Savior out there, aim your affections towards Him. Don't act. Try to find Him. Try to seek Him out. I understand you get saved by grace. But if you're trying to find Him, you're trying to seek Him, that's a good thing. That's a great thing. Look for Jesus. Seek Him out. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. It says, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you. That's what I was saying in prayer this morning. We should be thankful that when we remember each other, that we have brothers and sisters in Christ. We have people that have gone through the same thing we go through. People who have been saved the same way we've been saved. And I thank God upon every remembrance of you. In other words, every time I get ready to go through my prayers, I say, I am glad that I have these people to pray for. You say, huh? Well, let me tell you something. I scratched my sister off my prayer list. There's no need for me to pray for her anymore. She's gone. Now, whether she's in heaven or not, I don't know. But she no longer is on my prayer list. I scratched my dad off my prayer list. Wherever he's at, saved or unsaved, my prayer cannot do a thing in the world for him. See, there's some religions out there that say, if you'll come to a priest or you'll come to a man, and if you'll bring a money offering or whatever, we'll pray him out of this middle place. Well, there ain't a middle place. When my sister died, she either ended up in hell or she went to see Jesus. When my dad died, he either ended up in hell or he went to see Jesus. He's not sitting somewhere hoping that I can pray him out of the place he's in or send enough money. Says, I thank God on every remembrance of you that I can pray for you. Live people, living people, people that I love and think about a lot. Always in every prayer of mine for you, all making requests with joy that I should be happy that I can pray for some folks. First of all, I'm happy I can pray for some folks because if I wasn't saved, I could pray for you all I want to and it just hit the light bulbs up here and bounce off and that'd be the end of it. But not only am I happy, I know that my prayers go all the way to the top. The president may not get my notes, but God Almighty does. Every single prayer that I prayed is saved in a, saved in a bottle up there. God has them all. He ain't lost a one of them. Every tear that has been shed, He has them. He hasn't lost a one of them. With joy, I can make my request for each and every one of you. And with joy, I can make my request for each and every person on our prayer list. Now, I'm not happy that you got what you got. If you got cancer, I'm not happy about that. If you got some kind of sickness, I'm not happy about that. But I'm happy the fact that I am able to come into the presence of God and say, Lord, this person has this and that and the other, and they need your help. And not only do they need your help, but you're the only one who can truly help them. I know they could go to a doctor. I know they could go do this or that. But the bottom line is, unless you say they're healed, they don't get healed. Unless you save them, they don't get saved. But with joy, I can bring those names to you and pray for these folks. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. What we talked about in Sunday school, we can love the brethren because the fellowship with all of us, since the day we first got saved and the day that we first heard of each other, being confident in the church, being confident of this very thing, that He which begun a good work in you, the church at Philippi, and you as the individual believer, God began the good work. He didn't just broadcast this thing. He called out individuals and born them again from above. He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Christ. He's not going to start this thing, bring you through all kind of trials and tribulations and tests, and says, oh man, Charlie's not quite what I wanted. I'm going to chunk him back. He didn't grow fast enough. He didn't do this fast enough. He knew exactly how fast I would grow, and He knows exactly how fast you'll grow. He knows everything about you. He knows even to the joints and the marrow and all that stuff about you. It says, being confident. Being confident means I am guaranteed. I'm not going to sit there and say, well, I wonder if it's all going to work out at the end. Is not Jesus the author and the finisher of our salvation? Is He not the author and the finisher of our faith? If He's not the author and finisher of it, if He can't make it happen, our preaching and our teaching and everything's in vain. And like it says in Corinthians there, if what He's been talking about, if Jesus has not risen, if He has not come out of the grave, then everything that we've been preaching to you has been a lie. And we need to leave that stuff behind and find us another Savior. Because if Jesus ain't the one, I've lied to you. But I got news to you. He's the one. He's the one. He who hath begun a good work. See, if He began a good work in you, you believe that also. That He's the one. You're not saying, well, I'm kind of like this Christ. See, there are people in different religious groups like in Japan, stuff like that. They'll take your Jesus, my Jesus, and they'll put Him on the shelf right up here. Say, oh yeah, I like all the good stuff about Jesus. And they put Him on the shelf right there with Buddha and Shintoism and all kind of other isms. And they said, now I've got it covered. I've got Jesus plus all these good things. I've got it made. No, it's Him. And you better get rid of the rest of it. He is the only answer. He's the only salvation. He's the only way out of here. And if you've got Him plus some things, you're not there yet. It says, He hath begun a good work in you. He will finish it to the end. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all. In other words, everyone here who professes Jesus Christ, I have the idea, if you have professed Christ, if you believed in Christ, if you tell me you believe in Christ, it is meet for you to believe your testimony. And unless you show me something really, really, really out there somewhere crazy, if you tell me you believe in Christ, I'm not going to sit here and say, well, brother, have you believed all these doctrine and that doctrine and this doctrine? No, those things come with time. Those things come with learning. But to believe in Christ is new birth. To believe that Christ died for you, that He rose for you, that He's sitting in heaven making intercession for you, that's a sign of the new birth. Do you believe those things? And if so, have you confessed those things? Even as it is meet to think this of you all, he must have been from the south, right? Because I have you in my heart. Now, as Paul had these folks in his heart, I also have you guys in my heart. Inasmuch as both in my bonds, and I'm glad I'm not in jail. He was in jail. And in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Gospel that Jesus Christ came. Jesus Christ died. Jesus Christ rose. But God does not need a defender. Although Paul defends the gospel, he says, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye are all partakers of my grace. Now, Paul didn't give out grace. Now, it sounds like Paul gave them some grace. Now, he preached grace. But the grace that they were partakers of is the same grace he was partaker of, and that's the grace of Jesus Christ himself. So he says, you are all partakers of my grace. In other words, you have the very same grace that was given to me when God calls me to believe. The very same thing that I have is what you have. God is no respecter there. He didn't give some this and some that. He says, the grace that you got. For God is my record. Now you're going as high as you can get right there. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you in my bowels of Jesus Christ. In other words, I can tell you how much I pray for y'all. I can tell you all the things I do for y'all, but you got to take my word for it. But God, all He knows. So in other words, if I say, oh man, y'all just wouldn't believe all the time I pray. Well, I better be telling the truth because God's up there as my record. Well, Charlie, when you going to start? You keep telling all those people you've been praying, so when you going to start praying? But God is my record. Paul's record here, he was praying. He was laying down his life for these folks and praying always without ceasing. And he longed for them and he loved them and he cared for them and he wanted the very best for them. And that's the same thing we should want for each other also. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you You know, I think more about you guys than I think about anybody else I know. I'm not trying to say that braggingly or anything, but you guys are always on my mind. You guys are always watching me. So, anyways, and this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in the knowledge and in all judgments. So we're talking some serious stuff here. Knowledge of Jesus Christ, that your love may abound. So if you love me, as Christ said, you'll keep my commandments. If you love me, you'll do the things I've said do. If you love me, you'll put away those things which so easily beset you. If you love me, he says, this I pray, that your love may abound. First of all, our love may abound. He didn't say, I pray that you legally get right. He didn't pray that you get all the rules and the regulations straight first, but that your love, charity covers a multitude of sin. And I'm not trying to wash over sin, no way whatsoever. We should hate sin. There are things that God says, I hate, and we should hate them also. But what he says here, that your love may abound, your love for the brethren first. And sisters, and then towards all the outside world as available to take care of, that your love may abound and more in knowledge. Well, how in the world are you going to get knowledge if you say, well, I've been saved, I'm going to stay at the house, I got this thing licked? You got to be around some Bible teachers. You got to be around some Bible preachers. First of all, you need to get in the Bible yourself. That means the more you want to read, the more you want to study. I'm going to tell you what I did. I found out this the hard way. If you say, God, I need to know more about this, he's going to say, okay, here's the book. Here's the book. I want to know more about that. You see that easy? Well, I'm going to come and open up your head and I'll give you just this little bit of that. It don't work like that. But if you want to know more about love, you got to start reading about love. And I'm not talking about world love. I'm not talking about that other kind of love. I'm talking about real love. Love where a man would lay down his life for another man. Love where somebody would give his all that somebody else might have something. He says, first of all, that you might have more knowledge. He's praying that they'll listen to preaching. He's praying that they'll listen to their commentators who are in the right spot. He's praying that they'll read their Bible, and he's praying that they'll pray. You see, says God, James said, if you'll ask, and you ask wanting something, you'll get it. That doesn't mean he's going to send it in the mail to you, but he'll give you a desire that you can't quit studying if you ask for it. Not that I hate studying, I love studying. But the thing is, he gives you that desire if you ask for it. If you're not asking, it's like getting saved. If you're not asking him for something, if you don't know you lost him wanting something, what you going to do? But he gives you the desire for knowledge. And then he says, in all judgments. And there's all kind of judgments we could get into here. And so if you're not this and you're not that, but in all judgments, and I'm taking that comes from the love and the charity of God, how we should be long-suffering and how we should be joyful in the things we do and how we should treat others as we would like to be treated. And these judgments are not legalistic. You know, if you can't do this, you can't be right. But the judgments are in the fact that if you wrong me, I'll forgive you, and we'll work this thing out. But I am not going to just sit here and just watch you do some gross sin and not come to you and say, brother, sister, you know what you're doing ain't right. Now, hopefully I don't ever find out anybody's doing that. But the thing is, if I come to you like that, it's not because I'm mad at you. I'm not mad. I'm not going to like what you're doing for sure. Christ don't like what you're doing. But the fact is, I come to you as a brother and say, you're hurting yourself. You're hurting your church. You need to repent and come back to Christ like you need to be. Not that you're lost, but you need to get right with God and get back where you're supposed to be. I also in the same place. I'm not just pointing a finger there. I'm even me also the same way. This I pray, that you would learn and grow in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things which are excellent. How are you going to approve what those other... Remember what we studied in Bible school? You talked about that group of folks going up there and bless this thing up there where they kill babies left and right. And I'm sitting there. We would not approve that. We're not going to say, well, they're religious and they're this. So if they think it's good, then we need to fall in there with them. No, no, no. If God says, I hate murder, then we hate murder. If God says, I hate this or the proud look or whatever, then we hate those things. It says here that we may approve things that are excellent. We need to know what God calls excellent, so when we see excellent, we can approve it. If we don't know what God says about something, how in the world do we say something good? We're not going to approve that thing that they were talking about, that's for sure. Then it says, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ. I want you to understand, preaching the gospel offends lost people. Telling somebody that there's a hell and a heaven and you're probably not going there unless you believe in Jesus Christ, don't make people have goosebumps. You're being mean and ugly. You're trying to tell me I'm going to hell. No, I'm not trying to tell you anything. I'm telling you what God has done said. Lest you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, ye shall all perish. I didn't write the book, I just believe it. But it says here that we approve things that are excellent, that we may be sincere and without offense. In other words, when I tell that person that he could die and go to hell if he doesn't believe, I don't have to shake my fist at him and make fun of him. I don't have to try to beat him up or her up or whatever it may be to try to beat them into subjection of Jesus Christ, because only God can make you submit to Christ. Only God can effectually draw you out of darkness. But my job is to love you and to tell you that there is a darkness that's there. There is a hell to be run from. There is a heaven to be run into. There is a Christ that saves. And He saves those who are lost. He saves sinners. So the duty of the gospel is to tell people about a Savior that can save, and also tell people that if you're a sinner, you have a way out. If you know you're a sinner, if you know you need to be saved, if you know that you've fallen short of the grace of God, we have a Savior that can save you from all manner of sin and set you on the solid rock. And we do this with sincerity. With sincerity. In other words, out of the love from the heart. A desire to tell people that they need to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. If I didn't believe it, I wouldn't be here right now. If you, some of these folks here, if they didn't believe it, they wouldn't be here right now. And their desire is that you would believe the same thing they believe. It says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness. And there's a fruit of spirit, and there's the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. If you're a religious and you're just thinking you're working your way to heaven, you're going to please God and all that, then you're full of some fruits, but it's not the fruits of righteousness. It says, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ. If there's any good that any of us are doing, it's because we have been placed in Christ by God the Father. We have been placed there before the foundation of the world. We have been chosen by God. We have been created in Christ Jesus unto good works. It says here, being filled with the fruits of righteousness which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God. Not that I could walk around puffed up and say, oh, look at me, I'm going to heaven. But to the praise and the glory of God. Everything that we've done has been for God's glory, for God's honor, for God's praise. And while we'd like to think it's about us, it's really not about us. But I'm sure glad I'm going. I'm sure glad I was chosen. I'm sure glad He called me out. I'm sure glad He showed me I was a sinner and needed a Savior. But all of that was so that right now I could stand before you and say, to Him be the glory. I didn't do this thing. I didn't work this thing out. If it had been left up to me, I'd still be in hell right now. I'd still be on the way there right now. But God in His sovereignty reached down to where I was and He says, you need to be saved. And this is why. And He showed me why. He showed me my sins. He showed me my shortcomings. He showed me my fallings away. And He said, believe on my Son. And boy, I did. I need a Savior. I need some, not fiery shirts. I need a Savior. I need someone who can actually take care of all of what I was. Not only what I was, but what I still am outside of Christ. I'm glad He gave me that new thing. I ain't in that old man as much as I had to fight with Him all the time. I drag around a dead man all day long and He ain't giving up. But I am not what I used to be. I may not look great to some of y'all, but I still going to be something. To the praise and the glory of God. We sit around and we say, man, I'm so and so and such and such. No, I've been placed in Christ. I've been saved by Christ. I'm a believer that God the Father had a Son, and all to the praise and the honor and the glory of God. Whew. Get our priorities straight here. If I want to think I can clean everything up for me, and I should clean myself up for me, I should try to put things away for me, but everything I am right now is because of God. Everything you are as a believer is because of God. But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel. Him getting knocked off his horse was for the furtherance of the gospel. Him being stoned for the furtherance of the gospel. Him being whipped 3 times, if I'm right, was for the furtherance of the gospel. Him getting lashes with the cane was for the furtherance of the gospel. Everything he went for, he said, man, I'm glad I ain't Paul. Ain't nobody whipped me lately. Ain't nobody stoned me. Well, don't get too proud because it could come. But the thing is, we sit here and he could say something like, well, how's your day going? Well, I ain't been whipped today and I ain't been stoned today and I ain't been caned today. My day's going pretty good. Praise the Lord. But everything that happened to Paul was for the furtherance of the gospel. Man, could I stand up to that? I don't know. With the grace of God, maybe so. I don't know. But I know one thing. I don't want to try. I don't want to sit out there and dare you to or nothing like that. Double dog. No, God, I like it like I got it. Being stoned and whipped and caned. And I didn't even mention being in the sea a day and a night a couple, 3 times. You know, how's your day going? Well, you know, I just don't feel like going to church today. Really? For the furtherance of the gospel. He went through all these things. Hunger and thirst and beatings and whippings. For the furtherance of the gospel. So that my bonds. Look at what he says. My bonds in Christ. Not my bonds in these chains. Not my bonds in this dungeon. Not my bonds in this jail. But my bonds, are you bound to Christ? Are you so tied to Christ that your bonds are in Christ Jesus? Am I so that way that my bonds are in Christ Jesus? He says, that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the places and in all other places. In other words, everywhere I go and everywhere you go, is Christ coming out? Am I so attached to Christ that people can't mistake me for anything else but a Christian? Am I so attached to Christ that the people say, well, sometimes he acts Christian-like, but sometimes he, Paul never acted the other way. Paul always acted Christian-like. Paul always watched his mouth. Paul always watched things going on. Paul, in the middle of being stoned, didn't let a bunch of vulgarities go out. Wherever he was at, he always acted Christ-like. And sometimes we smash a finger and we say all kind of things, and he says, that the furtherance of the gospel. I watch my mouth. I watch the things I do. I watch the places I go. All these things have fallen on me for the furtherance of the gospel, so that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all places and in all other places. I'm going to have to leave it right there, because we've got a lot more Philippians to go through this week or next week. But I'm going to tell you, if my life, if your life is anything that's supposed to be in Christ, whatever we're going through, whatever kind of suffers, whatever kind of strugglings, whatever kind of things that's happening, Christ ought to be shining out. He ought not be just the things that's hid under our coat, but the thing that stands out to other people, that they could say, I want to know what he's got. I want to know the God that he knows. I want to find out what this Christ is all about. Paul was willing to be whipped. You say, willing? Well, they whooped him whether he wanted to or not. I don't think I'd say, he wasn't volunteering, I guarantee you. But he says, if it means being whipped, that the word of God may abound. If it means being stoned, that the word of God may abound. You think about our missionaries that we send out. Those guys are away from home, away from their families a lot of times. Very well could be mistreated, beaten, or even killed. And they're doing this for the cause of Christ. And I know in America it's kind of hard for us to get a grip on that. But even here, pretty soon, if it keeps going, it's going to happen to us. It's going to happen to us. So I'm saying, if you're a believer in Christ, remember that our duty is to walk like Christ. Our duty is to be Christ-like, to walk worthy of what he has given to us. I didn't say I am worthy, but to walk worthy, to walk like he would walk, to talk like he would talk, to be like he is. And God give us the strength and the grace to do those things that God's called us to do. We're supposed to be, when they look at us, they're supposed to see Christ. I hope that when people look at me, they see Christ. That would be my desire, and hopefully your desire also. So if God has touched you this morning, let us know. Tell us about it. And may God bless you.